Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the Spectrum Monitor, the December 2025 edition. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4CR. An image on this page shows a graph with two lines on it. The title of the graph reads, Listening Time Shifts from Free to Paid Streaming Music Platforms, Share of Daily Time Spent with Streaming Music, U.S. Population 13 Plus. One line, labeled Free Sources, is indicated to be at 78% in 2015, and then it steadily goes down to 34% in 2025. The other line is labeled Paid Sources, and it starts out at a 22% level in 2015 and steadily rises to 66% in 2025. Text at the bottom of the graph reads, Edison, share of ear, does not include listening to AM/FM radio music stations online. Source, Edison Research Share of Ear, 2014 to Q3 2025. The caption for the graph reads, Listening time shifts from free streaming in 2015 to paid streaming music platforms 10 years later, courtesy Edison Research. Back to the text. U.S. listeners paying for their listening pleasure. There is a shift in the way that Americans over the age of 13 are listening to programming on their various devices. A press release, October 29, from Edison Research explains that the majority of time spent with streaming music is now spent with paid platforms. There are many ways audio habits and preferences have changed within the last decade. Share of Ear is the only research product with the ability to measure how Americans 13-plus have spent their daily time with audio over the past 10-plus years. One interesting and underrated change in the audio landscape is the shift away from free streaming audio platforms to paid subscription services. Providers like Spotify, iHeart, YouTube Music, Amazon, and Pandora all currently offer both free and paid versions of their streaming music platforms. In 2015, over three-quarters of the time spent with streaming music sources was spent with free platforms at 78%. This high percentage continued into 2016, but started to lose ground to paid sources starting in 2017. 2020 marks the first year that paid sources surpassed free for the percent of time Americans 13-plus spend with streaming music sources. While there are slight fluctuations in the data some years, the overall theme remains consistent. Percent of time spent with streaming music sources has shifted from free to paid platforms. As of 2025, Americans 13-plus spend 66% of their daily streaming music listening with paid platforms, and 34% of time with free services. Edison Research says there are several reasons that paying for streaming content has become mainstream. These include Americans becoming less tolerant of advertisements in their audio listening, competitive pricing structures among streaming music providers, and subscription services becoming more common in other media offerings. The business of commercial radio. Commercial radio stations in the U.S. are no longer only commercial broadcast stations. They are all connected to some form of content generation, which includes live broadcasts as well as podcasts, programs that are recorded and presented on various podcast platforms, offered either free, ad-supported, or by subscription and available on demand. Revenue streams by broadcasters include on-air advertising, as well as podcast advertising and web platform advertising. As noted in the first part of this month's column, online streaming of AM/FM radio is not included in the amount of time listening to paid music platforms. Even so, it's early days in this era of broadcasting, as companies navigate the trends among millions of daily listeners against decreasing trends in ad support for actual on-air broadcasters. Here's a roundup of how the bulk of commercial U.S. radio stations are coping. On the downward slope, Salem Media Group, which owns 95 radio stations in 35 U.S. markets, and describes itself as a growing powerhouse in the conservative media marketplace, reported that its third quarter revenue was down 12.6% from the same period last year. The company's stock was delisted from the NASDAQ at the end of 2023 for not meeting that exchange's trading requirements, and currently trades over-the-counter, OTC, at 73 cents per share, down from $2.09 one year ago. Beasley Broadcast Group, which owns 55 radio stations in 10 states across the U.S., reported an operating loss of $300,000 in the third quarter for 2025, compared to an operating income of $1.2 million in the same quarter last year. The company's stock, which trades on the NASDAQ exchange, currently sells for $4.09 per share. One year ago, the stock traded at $8.40 per share. In a corporate press release, CEO Carolyn Beasley said, "While advertising demand remains challenging, particularly within agency channels, the quality of our revenue mix continues to strengthen, led by sustained growth and record margins in our digital business. Digital revenue now represents roughly one quarter of total company revenue, with owned and operated products driving margin expansion and scalability." Town Square Media, which owns 342 radio stations in 74 U.S. markets, in its third quarter report also notes success in the digital realm, stating that the company's digital operations now account for 55% of profits and revenue. Even so, the company's stock has suffered over the last 12 months, trading at just under $10 per share to $5.32 per share as this is written. Cumulus Media, one of the largest radio station conglomerates, which owns 428 stations in 87 U.S. markets, continues to struggle, shedding almost 90% of its stock value over the last 12 months, going from 80 cents per share to 9 cents per share as of November 11th. Saga Communications owns 82 FM stations and 31 AM stations in 28 U.S. markets. Its third quarter 2025 filing noted that net revenue decreased 1.8% compared to the same period last year. The company had an operating loss of $626,000 in the quarter compared to operating income of $1.6 million last year. Saga stock is traded on the NASDAQ exchange and lost 10% of its value over the last 12 months, going from $13.22 per share to $12 as this is written mid-November. The steady decline in financial stability over the last few years among publicly traded companies owning radio stations contrasts sharply with overall stock market performance, hitting record highs almost each week. With some market watchers warning of an overdue market correction, how will the already bludgeoned broadcast stocks react to such a possible downturn? With some of the biggest players in this industry having already moved in and out of bankruptcy, how far can these companies, which own over 1,000 commercial U.S. radio stations, afford to fall? Is there perhaps in the back of the minds of the CEOs of these corporations the thought that, because of the critical nature of this industry, these companies might be too big to fail? That somehow the federal government will step in to rescue them in the event of another economic meltdown? Four images on this page show the corporate logos for Audacy, iHeartMedia, Cumulus Media, and Salem Media Group. The caption reads, "Logos, courtesy, Audacy, iHeartMedia, Cumulus Media, Salem Media Group." Back to the text. Bucking the broadcast trend. iHeartMedia is bucking the trend in U.S. commercial broadcasting, as its stock is on the rise. The U.S. radio giant, which owns more than 860 stations, whose stock was trading at $2.49 per share 1 year ago, and now trades at $4.34 per share, an increase of 74% over the last 12 months. The big increase seems to stem from the company's announcement, June 30, 2025, when it said that it had reached a content distribution agreement with competitor Audacy in allowing both companies' stations to be accessed by each other's apps, the combined list of which tops 1,000 stations. Audacy, which owns some of the most popular radio stations in the biggest U.S. markets, emerged from bankruptcy a little over 1 year ago and is now owned by a private equity firm and is no longer publicly traded. The June 2025 deal also meant that Audacy content would be available on more than 500 platforms and thousands of devices. At the time, Audacy Chief Business Officer Chris Oliveiro said, "We believe in the power of being everywhere, and this partnership is a meaningful step in our strategy to ensure our iconic stations, talent, and programming are available wherever and however audio is consumed." It looks like iHeartMedia couldn't agree more. The numbers, reported by iHeartMedia on their website, are staggering. It claims to be the number one podcast publisher, with more than 180 million podcast downloads each month. The company also claims to be the number one audio company, reaching 9 out of every 10 Americans every month. More importantly for advertisers, the company reports that their podcasts have the lowest ad skip rate of 10% compared to the rest of the industry at 20%. Tesla challenges Congress on radios in vehicles. In 2018, electric vehicle maker Tesla began removing AM radio tuners from their in-dash entertainment packages. Outraged, the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB, urged that Congress write a law requiring that all new passenger vehicles sold in the U.S. include AM band tuning. In 2023, Congress finally responded. Bills called the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act were introduced in both U.S. Senate and House of Representatives. With somewhat more pressing matters on the congressional agenda each year, the bills have yet to become law. Meanwhile, in October 2025, it was reported that Tesla appears to have upped the ante by planning to eliminate both AM and FM tuners from the Model 3 and Y standard trim packages. Instead, online in-dash streaming through widely available apps, such as Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, MyTuner, iHeartRadio, BBC Sounds, TuneIn, SiriusXM, and available Bluetooth connectivity, would allow drivers to tune in any radio station from any location at any time, whether AM, FM, shortwave, satellite, or streaming only. Will this be enough to force Congress to pass the NAB's law? In general, American industries tend to bristle at being issued government mandates. Now that the government is back to work, some in the industry believe the legislation will be fast-tracked to passing. But given current trends in free broadcast radio, pay satellite and free and pay streaming listening habits of Americans in and out of their cars, will it even matter in the long term? Radio Nacional de España says adios to medium wave. Spanish national broadcaster Radio Nacional de España, RNE, announced November 18th a new era for National Radio of Spain. After 88 years, Radio Nacional de España will stop broadcasting Radio Nacional and Radio 5 on Onda Media, medium wave, to focus its efforts on the development of digital radio on DAB+. The deployment of DAB+ represents a milestone in the modernization of Spanish public radio and adapts to the reality of European technological progress, where most countries are moving towards the digitization of their broadcasting networks. In the press statement, RNE cited the decline of listeners to medium wave. Currently, only 1% of the Spanish population listens to it. It added that few new radios offered medium wave reception, and fewer new vehicles incorporate medium wave in Europe. The announcement explained that medium wave broadcasts would end before December 31 of this year, and the population will be informed through a special campaign focusing on the alternatives to be able to listen to programming of Radio Nacional and Radio 5. RNE noted that since the 1960s, the technology to bring higher quality broadcasts on FM surpassed the need for AM. In addition, RNE said, DAB Plus will have an automatic alert service to the population in Spain, pointing out that, during the blackout suffered on April 28, RTVE was able to inform citizens at all times of what was happening, thanks to the fact that the radio and television broadcasting networks are prepared for it. That day demonstrated its vital importance in emergency situations, and was for a long time the only means by which citizens could receive updated information. Radio Nacional was the most listened to station. An image on this page shows the interior of an office setting, and there are signs throughout showing RTVE and RNE. The caption reads, Courtesy Radio Nacional de España. Back to the text. RNE noted, terrestrial radio and television broadcasting has a high resilience, and in particular, the radio broadcast in DAB Plus in Spain will incorporate the ASA, Automatic Safety Alert System, a pioneering system of alerting the population to emergencies and catastrophes that will be automatically activated in compatible receivers. The ASA allows automatic security alerts to be sent to the population through spoken messages with announcers that transmit all the relevant information in emergency situations, and with additional text and image information on the screens of the receivers, making the alerts clear, understandable, and reliable. RNE stated that, The end of the medium wave is not a loss, but the beginning of a new stage in the history of public radio, in which it will evolve without losing its essence or its identity, to continue providing a quality service adapted to the new times and for all citizens. Massachusetts FM Pirate agrees to $7,200 fine. In early July 2023, FCC field agents discovered an unlicensed FM radio station operating on 93.1 MHz known as Three Bays Radio, Cape Cod's doo-wop and oldies station, in Caduit, Massachusetts, according to FCC documents. On April 26, 2024, almost a year later, the FCC's Enforcement Bureau issued a Notice of Apparent Liability, NAL, in the amount of $40,000, which was delivered to the pirate station operator. Unlike most such operators who blow off such FCC formalities, this one sought cancellation of the proposed forfeiture based on his inability to pay. The FCC looked at his finances and agreed. Both parties entered into a consent decree after ascertaining that the station was in fact no longer on the air. The fine was reduced to $7,200, with the stipulation that, should the operator go back on the air as a pirate, he agrees to make a further voluntary contribution of $32,800 if he violates Section 511 of the Act again or triggers other specified events of default during the 20-year term of the consent decree. And now the shortwave listener by Fred Waterer. Programming underscore matters at yahoo.ca. Shortwave holiday listening. Well, here we are with the final edition of the shortwave listener for 2025. Where does the time go? As 1 year ends, we get ready for a brand new one, warming up in the bullpen. The holiday season is a time for lots of special programming, and this year is no exception. Who knows? Maybe St. Nick might be dropping off a new radio to listen to it. It could happen. December has always been a great time for radio listening, and this year is no exception. Having said that, I draw your attention to the fact that Deutsche Welle is terminating its last shortwave transmissions. Radio Slovakia International is in danger of a total shutdown, and Radio Romania International is seemingly always on thin ice. This report originates with Jeff White and Wavescan and has been edited for brevity. Radio Slovakia International has broadcast programs on shortwave since the founding of the Slovak Republic in 1993. It ended shortwave broadcasts from its own transmitters in Slovakia in 2011, but it has continued broadcasting on shortwave via WRMI in Florida and shortwave service in Germany to this day. However, Ladislava Huzovikova of Radio Slovakia International has sent us some alarming news. She says, "We are writing to you asking for a great favor. We ask for your support, a testament to the value of our broadcasts and our work. The existence of Radio Slovakia International is threatened. It appears that Radio Slovakia International could be shut down as soon as December 31 of this year. This is not just a case of a station possibly ending its shortwave broadcasts. It's a case of a station from an important country ceasing to exist altogether. We, the members of Radio Slovakia International, were surprised by the news that, as part of the consolidation and preparation of the Slovak television and radio budget for next year, when we will commemorate the centenary of broadcasting in Slovakia, the management intends to substantially limit or even terminate Radio Slovakia International, RSI, broadcasts. Broadcasting abroad began in Czechoslovakia in the summer of 1936 through Radio Journal, the forerunner of Czechoslovak radio. The idea of reaching out to the world arose within the context of a difficult geopolitical situation that continues today. After the creation of the independent Slovak Republic, Slovak radio continued this tradition by establishing an independent broadcasting station, RSI, which produces and distributes programs in English, French, German, Russian, and Spanish, in addition to broadcasts in Slovak for Slovaks living abroad. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.